My text this morning comes from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 20. If you have your Bibles, and will please turn to Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 10. This is a letter, as Phil said, that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. And he's saying to these people, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day. And having done everything to stand, stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all of the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That was a pretty dynamic letter.
Amen.
For Paul to be sitting in a jail, and yet he was writing to the people, don't give up. Maintain that hope. Maintain that joy. Maintain that peace. Trust in the Lord with everything that you have. You know, Paul's definition is probably the clearest definition in the New Testament of spiritual warfare. It's a call to arms. He said, okay, we're at war. Get your guns. Get ready. We have a battle to fight. And we as Christians today are in a battle against opponents that are far greater than we can even imagine. Our minds cannot comprehend what we're actually fighting against as children of God. Our opponents are far greater and stronger than we are. This passage in Ephesians not only assures us that there is indeed a spiritual warfare going on around us, but that if we don't use the weapons that God has given us, we won't win. We will be fighting a losing battle if we try to fight this battle on our own. We have to use the weaponry that God has given us. Because if we try it on our own, we will realize that we're totally unarmed. We're not prepared. We're defenseless. We're fighting a battle that can only be won by the provisions that God has given us, the resources that God has are far beyond human capabilities. We can't do anything on our own or within ourselves. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit. All of our guns, all of our knives, all of our swords, all of the rockets, all of the bombs, everything that man has developed, ever invented, are totally useless in the battle that we find ourselves in today. This battle that we're fighting today is not just a battle between the good guys and the bad guys, the guys in the white hats, the guys in the black hats. It's not that cut and dry. It's not me versus Daniel or me versus Dana, but this is a spiritual warfare. It's a warfare that cannot be fought with guns. This war I'm talking about is an age-old war. It's not something that just started yesterday. This is a war that started in heaven in the very beginning. It was a war between God and the archangel Lucifer. Most of us refer to Lucifer as the devil or as Satan. Where does Satan wage this war with us? He comes to us through the world system in which we live, and he comes to us through our flesh. Satan attacks us with our dreams, just as God spoke to David and other people throughout the Bible, and to Solomon. God spoke to them through dreams. You better believe Satan will sneak in there in your dream world too. And he'll fill your mind with stuff that you may not even remember dreaming. But Satan is at work to devour every one of us as children of God. Well, by now you may be thinking, well, I pray, I read my Bible, I go to church, I pay my tithes, I'm a good person, I try to be morally right, I try to be politically correct, to try to be spiritually correct. I want to point out something. That's all well and good. I want to point out some things to you that Satan is doing to defeat the unaware Christian. One thing, prayer has been legally banned from public schools. Satan. And God We Trust has been deleted from our money. It's been deleted in public places. It's been deleted from documents. The definition of being offended has been blown all out of proportion. Until we are blindly being led to give up many of the traditions that we have always held dear and many of our freedoms that are defined in the Constitution of the United States, especially those that are involving church. We have to be careful. We have to omit bits and pieces of who we actually are to make other people comfortable. Is that right? No, that's wrong. We should be able to stand firm as believers in Jesus Christ. We're so concerned today about being politically correct and not offending anyone. What happened, folks, to spiritual correctness? What happened to us obeying the Word of God and following the leading of the Holy Spirit? We as Christians are to love others the way that God loves us. We're not supposed to worry about changing people. That's God's job. We're not qualified to do that. In no way are we qualified to do that. But unless we put on the whole armor of God and submit ourselves to the will of God, we're fighting a losing battle. We will lose our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren to the very clutches and the claws of Satan. And we don't want that. I could get on my soapbox and I could preach for hours about how Satan is destroying this one nation under God that we have always been so proud of. But the dangerous and the sad part is that we don't give Satan any credit for all of this. We call it terrorist. We call it politics. We call it the effect of the media. We call it everything but what it is. It's the power of Satan at work in our schools, in our government, in our churches, in our homes. Now let me bring all of this just a little closer to home. Week before last, we were in Vacation Bible School. Many of you had worked so hard alongside of me and my family to bring the truth behind all of these proverbs that Phil was talking about. All the proverbs in the Bible, we were trying to present this to our young people. But guess who was working just as hard to stop us as we were to succeed? The devil himself. He was at work in full force. During the week before Vacation Bible School, Brother Mike, who was our games and activities director, had a car wreck. And that was very disturbing to him and to us too. The Sunday before we started, our music director, Travis, was sick with some kind of stomach bug. And we were wondering if he was even going to be able to lead the music during Vacation Bible School. The first day of Vacation Bible School, Monday, Dana, our Vacation Bible School director, received a phone call from her husband, Mark, saying, "I am so sick, I've called the ambulance. Come get me and take me to the emergency room. I'm in terrible pain. I think I may have a kidney stone. I may be dying." He was just that sick. That Monday, Daniel went out. He got in the van to go pick up some kids for Vacation Bible School. Hot. It was so hot that day. He cranked that van up, and you think that air conditioner would even come on? It didn't say nothing. I bet it was 105 in that van, but he did not let that stop him. That was the devil trying to stop us. "Well, we can't go get those young'uns now because we don't have any air conditioner." I can remember, folks, when there wasn't no such thing as an air conditioner. But we went to church. We served the Lord. So away Daniel went. We got winders that works in that thing. The devil did everything in his power to discourage us, not just as Christians, but as workers for Christ. But he didn't succeed. Praise God, he did not succeed. We had a successful Vacation Bible School. I was able to get the air conditioner fixed. Mark was able to get some relief from pain. Brother Mike's getting his car fixed. The devil cannot stop the move of the Holy Spirit. And best I remember, Annie had a flat tire that week too. So everything sometimes feels like it's falling apart. But you know what happened? What made us be successful? Because we were able to band together and plead the blood of Jesus Christ over that Vacation Bible School setting, over all of the workers. There's one thing, if you don't remember anything else. Satan cannot cross the bloodline. He cannot cross that barrier that is there, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. We have authority over the devil, but we have to be prepared to exercise that authority. And how do you do that? By putting on the whole armor of God. We as Christians are armed. We're not dangerous, but we're armed. But we are a danger to Satan. We can defeat him through the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:10 tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. James 4:7 tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist. What does that mean when you say resist? Webster's Dictionary tells us that it means to oppose, to fend off, to stand firm against, to fight against, to refuse to cooperate with, to refuse to be affected by something, to repel it. When we put on the whole armor of God, that's like spraying ourselves with, instead of off bug spray, just spraying ourselves with the blood of Jesus Christ. Saying, okay, devil, back off, move away, because I belong to God. Don't be on the defense. We must be on the offense. God has supplied just the right weapons in the sword of the Spirit. If we are to begin this spiritual battle, we must first recognize that we need strength greater than our own. Because we all have things that come into our life that we can't handle. We don't even know where to begin to handle it. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, through having on the whole armor of God, we can be overcomers. We can have victory. Well, what do you need victory over? Winning the victory involves a fight. You have to be willing to fight for what you believe. And the harder you get, try to draw closer to Christ, you better believe Satan's going to come at you even harder. But there is not a battle that we have to fight, but what we can overcome when we put on the whole armor of Christ. We as believers must clothe ourselves with the armor that only God provides. And only the complete outfit will protect us as soldiers of the cross. You may not be able to solve all of the world's problems or the country's problems or the county's problems, even the problems in Tallahassee. You may not be able to solve the problems in your own home. But you can certainly give the devil a run for his money when you put on the whole armor of God. Paul teaches that we are not struggling against flesh and blood enemies. It's not a fight with your neighbor. It's not a fight with members of your family. It's not people that we're at odds with. We're struggling against the cosmic powers of the present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Other governments, other people, your neighbor, those are not our problem. The truth is, Satan is to blame. He's responsible, just as he was in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. He's still trying to kill us. The fruit of the garden would kill Adam and Eve if they ate it, yet Satan talked them into doing it anyway. You say, well, how stupid is that? To us, yeah, today it might seem that was pretty stupid. But consider and think about it. I don't want you to answer, but think about all the things that we allow Satan to talk us into today. How many times do you see people that allow Satan to talk them into gossiping, backbiting, doing things that are immoral? Well, I didn't mean to do it. Yeah, you did. You listened to Satan. because you did not have on the whole armor of God. I've described the armor of God, what it stands for, and what its benefits are to the Christians who put on the armor. There's an insert in your bulletin that explains this more in depth. We must put on this armor, and we must wear it every single day of our life. When you get up in the morning, those of you who wear glasses, you get up and put your glasses on. I put my glasses on. I put my hearing aids in. All of this stuff we do routinely. We need to make... Did you say I put my teeth in? We routinely do these things. And so we need to routinely put on the whole armor of God. Amen?
Amen.
This is something we must do every day. We need to gird ourselves with truth and honesty against this lying enemy, Satan. We need on the breastplate of Christ's righteousness, holiness, and obedience to protect our heart. We need to be ready and able to fight by preparing ourselves with the gospel of peace. And we need to hide behind the shield of faith to avoid all the fiery darts of Satan. And we need to put on the helmet of salvation that's pointing us upward and onward to victory. We need to have our sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to conquer our enemies. But only if we use it on them will they be conquered. Verse 18, again, Paul is encouraging us to pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer, to stay alert and to always persevere in prayers for all of the saints. We as saints of God today need to pray for each other more than ever before. We need to lift one another up in prayer. Pray always and be watchful and alert. Never allow yourself to be caught off guard. Praying for your fellow Christians in battle prevents the whole army from being weakened by the fall of one soldier. If one of us is hurting, or one of us becomes discouraged and wants to throw in the towel and quit, I got mad. I quit going to church. I'm not going down there no more because they hurt my feelings. I wanted to sing and they wouldn't let me sing. But if y'all ever heard me sing, you'd know why. But we get our feelings hurt. And therefore we drift away from what we believe in and for what we are a part of. And you think if I got mad, quit, that it would affect anybody? Sometimes you feel like, well, if I didn't ever go to church no more, nobody would miss me. We are saints of God. We are children of God. And I don't care who you are, what you do, somebody is watching your life. Somebody is depending on you to lift them up in prayer. But we can't do any of this stuff without having on the whole armor of God. The true child of God will use every form of prayer that is available. Only then do we truly pray. You could get down on your knees at the altar and pray. You can pray standing at your kitchen sink washing dishes. You can pray driving down the highway. You can pray through the words of a song. But we need to pray. Praying is part of putting on the whole armor of God. Will you today pray and purpose in your heart to put on this whole armor of God? You won't be disappointed that you did. You will be sadly disappointed if you don't and you see your world falling apart. Jesus is here today to protect us, to lift us up, and to make sure that all of our armor is in place. When we go out that door and face the world, we'll have Him not only by our side, but within us, to give us a strength that we need from having on the whole armor of God. Amen.